Plans for the Sydney Hospital, April 25, 1899. At a council meeting held last Thursday forenoon, it was decided that Brother Thompson should look over the plan which had been drawn up for the hospital and cut out 4 feet, thus lessening the expense. I disliked very much to do this, but money matters have become a serious question with us, and I felt forced to confess that I knew of no other way to do. But during the silent hours of the night, when I was by myself, the structure of a building rose before me, and my attention was directed to it. I said, "That building is disproportionate. It is too tall and narrow. It is not symmetrical." I pointed out its disagreeable appearance, and the answer was, "That is the very form of the structure you intend to build. There should be no contracting, that is, reducing, in the plan for the hospital. Let your minds take in the situation, and then erect the building you really need, putting the cost of the verandas into the main building. The tread that will be heard on the verandas will be annoying to any person, sick or well. We can better do without them than contract the plan. If a small building is erected, after a time you will have to enlarge. These additions cost too much to run the risk of now limiting the building. The bathroom should be a room where massage and other treatment can be given. This part of the building should in no case be crowded out. There should be 2 bathrooms, one for lady patients, the other for the men. A special building should be prepared for those who have typhoid fever and other contagious diseases, who may come right among us. There should also be a bathroom for those who minister in word and doctrine, who need toning up and rest. Rooms should be ready for persons who are not invalids, but who will be unless they take more care of themselves. In every place where we have a church, there should be some place specially fitted up where treatment can be given, a bathhouse with appropriate rooms. This is as the Lord designs it should be. There are few families so situated that they can accommodate in their dwelling houses the one needing treatment and thus help to prevent disease. In every place a building, even though rude and inelegant, should be erected. It should be plainly and comfortably furnished with spring beds, easy chairs, etc. Treatment ought not to be given in sleeping rooms. In the bathroom there should be a bench of suitable height, covered with mattress, oilcloth, and woolen blanket. On this the patient can be given packs, and colds broken up. Thus a great deal of money may be saved which would otherwise be spent on doctor's bills. When workers in the cause of God fail in health, the central sanitarium may not be within their reach. Every teacher of the word can learn how to treat himself with the aid of a helping brother. Instruction has been given on this point. Physicians need to be instructed by the great physician. They need to learn in the school of Christ. They receive their diplomas as competent physicians, but have they learned from the chief of physicians the lessons contained in the first 4 and the last 6 commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Luke 10, verse 27. There is to be a sanitarium in Australia, and altogether new methods of treating the sick are to be practiced. Drug medication must be left out of the question if the human physician would receive the diploma written and issued in heaven. There are many physicians who will never receive this diploma unless they learn in the school of the great physician. This means that they must unlearn and cast away the supposed wonderful knowledge of how to treat disease with poisonous drugs. They must go to God's great laboratory of nature and there learn the simplest methods of using the remedies which the Lord has furnished. When drugs are thrown aside, when fermented liquor of all kinds is discarded, when God's remedies, sunshine, pure air, water, and good food are used, there will be far fewer deaths and a far greater number of cures. Christ never planted the seeds of death in the system. Satan planted these seeds when he tempted Adam to eat of the tree of knowledge, which meant disobedience to God. Not one noxious plant was placed in the Lord's great garden, but after Adam and Eve sinned, poisonous herbs sprang up. In the parable of the sower, the question was asked the Master, "Didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? How then hath it tares?" The Master answered, "An enemy hath done this." Matthew 13, verse 27, 28. All tares are sown by the evil one. Every noxious herb is of his sowing, and by his ingenious methods of amalgamation, he has corrupted the earth with tares.
Then shall physicians continue to resort to drugs which leave a deadly evil in the system, destroying that life which Christ came to restore? Christ's remedies cleanse the system, but Satan has tempted man to introduce into the system that which weakens the human machinery, clogging and destroying the fine, beautiful arrangements of God. The drugs administered to the sick do not restore, but destroy. Drugs never cure. Instead, they place in the system seeds which bear a very bitter harvest. The Lord sees that great reforms are needed in this country. The people must be educated in right lines. In this work, trials will come. But everything that possibly can be done must be done to keep our special work among ourselves, as far as the outlay of means is concerned. We are not to place ourselves as the helpless prey of the powers of darkness. Those who believe in Christ will be tried. Their faith and love, patience and constancy will be proved. But God is their helper. Our Savior is the restorer of the moral image of God in man. He has supplied in the natural world remedies for the ills of man, that his followers may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. We can with safety discard the concoctions which man has used in the past. The Lord has provided antidotes for disease in simple plants, and these can be used by faith, with no denial of faith. For by using the blessings provided by God for our benefit, we are cooperating with Him. He can use water and sunshine, and the herbs which He has caused to grow in healing maladies brought on by indiscretion or accident. We do not manifest a lack of faith when we ask God to bless His remedies. True faith will thank God for the knowledge of how to use these precious blessings in a way which will restore mental and physical vigor. The body is to be carefully cared for, and in this the Lord demands the cooperation of the human agent. Man must become intelligent in regard to the treatment and use of brain, bone, and muscle. The very best experience we can gain is to know ourselves. Let the soul be cleansed from all impurity. Then will be seen the necessity of reform in many other respects, in order that the high standard of virtue and holiness may be reached.